Today she is Masechta B'chayrus Daf Lamed Aleph. We're going to begin on Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, the first word. Tana Rabbanim. We continue discussing these individuals who accepted Chaveris and other different situations. V'kulon shechaz b'hem emekablon oysan, oylamis. Actually, I saw three-way machlokes rishonim. What is the situation that the Braisa is referring to? Some say it's going back to what we discussed in the previous shiur about the person who agreed to be a chaver, but said he doesn't want to take all the rules. Another explanation I saw is that it's referring to the woman who was married to the chaver and then married the Amoritz, that the Mishnah, the Brice is teaching us, once she goes off the right way, we don't take her back. And there's a third opinion that I saw in the Rishonim that has really nothing to do with what we're talking about in our Shurim, but actually it's more connected to someone who's a Rasha, a Gazlan, that never could become a kosher aid. Divrei Remeya, that is the opinion of Remeya. Yehuda's opinion is, Chazur b'matmonius, ein mekablon oson. If we only see them acting properly in private, but they're not doing so, we haven't seen that also publicly, a mekablon oson, then we wouldn't be mekablon them. But for Esya, but once we see them acting properly, both, this is what Rishonim explained, both privately and publicly, mekablon oson, then we will accept them back. Ikadamri, a different version, im also devrein b'metmonius, if they only did what they did improperly, privately, so that people fall through. And therefore, since they haven't done their inappropriate behavior publicly, but if we've seen them act inappropriately publicly, we can't accept them, because now we have a situation of Chilul Hashem. Once somebody acted inappropriately publicly, now accepting him back would be an issue of Chilul Hashem. There are Rishonim that have a different approach. Their approach is that it's not what they did when they acted the wrong way, but rather the focus is what they were doing while they were chaverim. Rav Shimon, Rav Yishuv, and Kar Chaimrim, they have a whole different approach. Ben Kach and Ben Kach Mekamen Oysam, we always accept a Baal Tshuva, Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Tshuva Banim Shoivavim. The Farshim say that the diyuk is in the word shoivavim, with the two vases, all types of people who didn't do what they were supposed to do. Says the Gemara, Amar Yitzchak Ishkfar Akko Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halach Kaisazog. We always accept Baalei Tshuva. Tana Rabbanan. So our Gemara actually goes back somewhat to what we discussed previously about who is considered a chaver under what circumstances. It says the Braisa B'Shoyna Ha'Oimra, Chaver V'Nasa Gabai. We spoke at the end of the Shia yesterday. In the time of Chazal, the individual who was a Gabai, which is a tax collector, is always considered a person that didn't act properly. And I actually saw a very interesting piece from Rabbi Yosef. Because the Gemara, when it speaks about a Gabai, speaks about two types of Gabon. There were Gabon that there were no rules. They took from you as much as they could get. So such a Gabai, obviously, is a person who's acting inappropriately. But then there were Gabon who followed the rules. There was a certain tax rate, and they collected it. And the question that he asks, because we're going to see in the Gemara there, of Huna became a Gabai. And he asks, it's inconceivable to say that if Huna became a Gabai who just collected money without any rhyme or reason, that's just Geneva. So it must be that Huna was a Gabai who was following the rules. Yet he says, interestingly, that is a position that doesn't belong to a person who acts the right way. It's not, there's a certain level of behavior that we expect from individuals, even if halachically it's correct. In fact, I saw a fascinating story from Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, who quotes this piece from his father-in-law, Rabbi Yashiv, and he attaches to it an interesting episode. He says, many years ago, obviously, Rav the Chazanish's nephew, bought an apartment in Bnei Brak. And he bought the apartment, and he wants to come to move into his new apartment, and there are squatters there living. And obviously, these weren't individuals who he could call to a din Torah. So what he would have to do is take them to secular court. So he didn't know, should he or shouldn't he? So he went to consult with his uncle, the Chazon Ish. Comes to the Chazon Ish and tells the Chazon Ish the situation. And the Chazon Ish tells him, certainly you have to go to court. It's your apartment. You have to get out the people. Fine. He leaves the Chazon Ish's home and he's going home. And all of a sudden he hears somebody calling him from behind. It's no one else than the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish left his home to run after him to find him and said, you know, I thought it over and I don't think you should go to court. He says, why? He says, halachically, you're 100% permitted to go to court. He said, but what's going to happen when you go to court? Everybody knows you're my nephew. And everybody's going to say that the Chazon Ish allows people to go to secular court. The details that this is a unique situation, nobody focuses on details. What's going to come out is that the Chazon Ish says you can go to secular court. And therefore, I tell you, because you're my nephew, you shouldn't do it. The end of the story is actually a very good end of the story. They moved out on their own. But that's shot in the Gemara, that even a gabbai who halachically it's permissible is not a chaver. So again, says the Gemara, b'shanai oimer chaver v'nasa gabbai. Somebody who's a chaver and then became a gabbai, doichanai soi mechaverosoi. They take him away from being a chaver. Pirish eim mekabelon soi. And even if he leaves that job, we won't let him be a chaver again. Chazru loimer, but then they said, pirish, once he does leave that position, harayu kukol adam, we do accept him to be a chaver. There's actually a machloikus rishonim, does he have to go through the process of accepting chaverus again? Or, as soon as he leaves that job, and he was originally a chaver, he falls back to being a chaver automatically. Says the Gemara, Rav Huna bachia istru chalei shata. People had to come visit Rav Huna Bachia. I saw actually three pshatim why. One pshat is, Pasha pshat in the Gemara, is they needed to consult with him on a halachic matter. He was the great Rav Huna. Another pshat is that they actually wanted to appoint him to be the Rosh Yeshiva. And a third pshat is Rav Huna was not well and they came to visit him. Rav Huna Bachia itzruch leishata. Have a ayal gabei, Rabbi Rav Yosef. So Rabbi Rav Yosef, 400 pair of Talmid HaChacham all came to visit him. I saw him at first ask, why don't you just say 800? So two pshatim. One pshat is because there's a question if you're allowed to count Jews. So if you count them as peers, not as individuals, it's mutter. Another pshat that I saw, beautiful pshat, is that we know that how does one succeed in learning if he doesn't learn by himself? He learns with a chavrusa. And the Gemara is trying to make this point, that they always walked with their chavruses, they always were talking and learning with their chavruses. Shamed Asa, so he heard that he's getting such visitors. Katalu Abamei Taktiki, so he prepared 400 couches for these guests. L'soif Shamed Nasa Gabai. And then they heard that Rav Huna became a Gabai. Sholchalei, so they sent him, Zilach HaShuvasei, Zilach Kedmusei. We're going back home. We don't want to visit you if you're a gabbai. Sholach Lu, so he saw what it means to be a gabbai, Hajibei. So he says, I'm giving up that position. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef, Loyazel, Rabbi Yosef still refused to go see him. Rava Ozel, Rava did. Rabbi Yosef Amma, Rabbi Yosef's basics for his behavior, but the Kutanina, Pirish, even if he gives up that position, we don't take him back. Rav Amat Tanina, Chazer Loim Pirish, that they taught us that we always accept Bali Tshuva Rei Kukal Adam. So the way we got into this discussion of people who are Choshed was because we first started speaking about who is qualified to examine a Bechor if it's a Balmum. And the Gemara comes back to that. Tana Rabbanan, Kala b'chayrus adam roya chutz mishal atzmai. All b'chayrus may one see besides his own. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara It's talking about a kohen in his own home. And a kohen who got a bechor, the halacha is not allowed to look at that, is not allowed to be the one to examine if the bechor is bal mum. So there's a very interesting discussion amongst the mefarshim. What about the following situation? We learned many times in our masechta that sometimes a yisrael is holding on to an animal because it's a suffik bechor. So what's going to be the halacha if I, a yisrael, I'm holding on to a suffik bechor? Is that included in what the Gemara says, that you're not allowed to look at your own bechor? Or will that be different? Some freshmen say it makes no difference. If it's mine, I'm not allowed to look for myself. Others say a very big nafkamina, and it's going to be relevant to a discussion we'll have in a few moments. They say, where is the halacha that you're not allowed to look at your own, when it has to do with you, when it says chazik isura? This animal is clearly a bechor. It's been given to the kohen. So the kohen has no right to be the one to paskin. The case of Sofik Bechor, by simple definition, means we don't even know if it's a Bechor. So it's not as Chazik Isura, and since it's not as Chazik Isura, that's why you are allowed to look, even though it's relevant to you. Furthermore, the halach is, Royas Kadoshov. If he has an animal, and there's a question if it's a Balmum or not, we know an animal that's a Balmum, you a Paida, the halach is, You are allowed, Varayas Kadoshov, a person may look at his own animals. However, Rashi points out, that's only as long as the animal, and again, we'll understand this better in a moment, as long as the animal is still in your Rishus. Once you give it to Hegdish, then you know have no right. Vesmai Sroisov, the halacha is that every 10th animal, we have to go through a procedure, and the 10th animal is identified as the Maisa Behem animal. And now, if the animal is healthy, it's brought as a carbon, similar to a carbon shlomim. Otherwise, it could be eaten by the owner with certain restrictions that we're going to discuss in the next parak. So the halach is that you're allowed to look at your own Maisa Behem animal to determine if it's a balmum. If you have a question at home about tum and tahara, you could ask in the question yourself. Begins the Gemara to analyze this brisa. Amar kol b'chad ayros adam roy chutz mishalas tzoy. Ask the Ramayiskin, and exactly what is the situation here? Ilam b'chad, if we're talking about that I'm the kohen and I'm going to make that examination, ask the Rami Mehaman, is one person allowed to make this determination himself? Ask the Gemara, says the Gemara, el b'tlosa. You have to have a bezdin to make this determination. Ask the Gemara, if you have to have a Bezdin making this determination, Umich Shidi, why would we be concerned if I'm not the only person sitting on the Bezdin? But Tanan, the Mishnah says, M'sech de Yevomis, Miyana, we know that Midaraisa, a father has a right to marry off his daughter. But if a girl is Nebuch, an orphan, she doesn't have a father, or according to some opinions, we'll discuss these opinions actually in the next parak, her father once already married her off, he loses that right to marry her off again. So if this girl is a ketana, and she's an orphan, her brothers or her mother, or even, as we just said, she may have a father, but halachically she's called a ketana, a yisoyma b'chaya av, she could get married, but that kedushin is a kedushin de rabbanan, and that kedushin could be annulled, miyun, as long as she's not yet a gedayla. Oisha chalitza, chalitza has to be done in front of a bezdin. And if the dayan is one of the members of this bezdin, yisa'enu, he may marry this girl. Why are we not concerned that people are going to say that he had his own interest in mind? Mineshu bezdin. So we see that whenever you're part of a bezdin, there's no concern. So why is the kohen not allowed to pass on the bechor as a balmum? He's part of a bezdin. Answers the Gemara, loylem bechad. We are referring to the kohen who is examining it by himself, and it's referring to a situation as Rav Chisda said. Kram Rav Chisda, Amr Rav Yochanan, biyachid mumcha. We're going to learn in the next parak in Mitzvah Shem that a yachid mumcha may paskin about a bechor, and that's the case that the Brice is referring to. Hachanam biyachid mumcha. interesting question that I saw that the Piskei Tshuva discusses. What would be the halacha if you have three people who are partners in a Bechor? So now all of us have, and we're the Bezdin. So all of us have Negiyas. So can we paskin the Shaila or not? Piskei Tshuva himself takes a stringent opinion, but he quotes the Chadrei Deya, who's more lenient. And he says a very good reason why to be lenient. Because even though all of us have something here, we're involved, but it would involve a conspiracy. It would involve that all three of us should decide together to do the wrong thing. And Chazal says the Chadrei Deya were not concerned for that type of a conspiracy. So we learned in the Braisa, Varayas Kadoshav. The halacha is that a person could look at his own animals who are kachim. Why does he have a right to do that? Why are we not saying that he's a negei bedavar? Says the because they buy mitchalai. Kachim, as we know, by definition, is something that is like hegdish, that's a nether. So I could always have my nether annulled. So if I wanted to get myself out of bringing this animal, I have a halachically permissible way of doing so. And therefore, this is not considered something that I have negis. Or maestris. Why could he look at his maestris? Because says the Gemara, the boy should have been mumer b'kule edrin. The halach is that if somebody really is anxious to get out of bringing a maestris behemoth to the base of Mikdash, so before he goes through the whole procedure, he'll go and take all of the animals and he'll make them bali mum. So whichever animal ends up being the tenth animal, he won't have to bring. That is the reason that if he really wanted to get out of it, he could have done it. So there's a number of points to make here. Actually, the Mefarshim ask, you could say the same thing by Bechor, that he could have made the Bechor a Balmum before it came out of its mother's womb. We discussed that and we'll discuss that again. So the Mefarshim answer to that, the halach is, I think we've mentioned it already, lechatchila one shouldn't do that. Meiser, there's no iser at all to do that. By Bechor, you're not supposed to do that when there was a basic misunderstanding. The other question is that we learned together that by Bechor, you also have a halachically legitimate way of getting out of the chiyuv. What is a legitimate way? By selling a share of the mother to a guy. We learned that at the beginning of Masechta. So why shouldn't you believe by Bechor if you have a way of getting out of it? So the Mefarshim say we have to take a very different perspective to Bechor than from Isa. This animal, these animals that are in your herd, that have not gone through the Meiser procedure, have no connection to Meiser at all. So there, if you want to get out of it, we understand there are acceptable means. By Bechor, there are also acceptable means. But that doesn't change the reality that this animal is a Bechor. And that's why we can't treat them the same way. The Miches Chinuch says, I just said a moment ago, the halach is, and the Gemara says this in many places, that if you go and you designate an animal as Hegdish, so it's a form of a nether, and you could be shoyl on it. What is the halacha, asked the Miches Chinuch, if an animal has been designated as your Meister animal? Is that also a situation that you could be shoyl on it? He says you can't, and he uses this Gemara as a raya. Because if the Gemara were holding that just like by all kachim, you have the option by mitchalei, so why don't the Gemara say the same thing by Meister? The fact that the Gemara doesn't say it is a raya that you can't be shoyl on Hegdish, which is actually a machloikus achroinim, and it has relevance to pshat in the Gemara. Because Dibai, throughout Shas, what does Dibai mean? It's a migui. Whenever the Gemara uses the word Dibai, it means a migui. What does a migui mean? A migui means, instead of Malo Lashak, if I wanted to say something, I could have said a better claim. Here, he wasn't shoyl. So, what is the Gemara saying? If I wanted, I could have been shoyl. If I wanted, I could have made all my animals a Bali Mum. I didn't make him a Bali Mum. Wasn't shoyl. How do we understand this Gemara? So there's two ways of understanding the Gemara in the Achroinim. One pshat in the Achroinim is, yes, it's a migui. I could have done it, and I could have said I did it. And therefore, to say the same by Meiser, I could have been shoyl on it. Others say that the way to understand the Gemara is entirely different. we're obviously dealing with, it's showing us what kind of person we're dealing with. We're not dealing with a person who's looking to get out of the Meiser obligation, because if he wanted to, he could have done something. We're dealing with an honest individual. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Venishla Tarois, if somebody could pass in his own shilas regarding Tum and Tahara, because Abai Labim et Masai, nobody's always Tahar. So you always need to have some Tamei food available, as long as it's not Truma. Truma can never be consumed when it's Tamei, when you're going to be Tamei. So why shouldn't you be honest? You'll have what to do with that food. So before we finish the Perek, obviously when we learn this Gemara, there's an obvious, very important question to discuss. Could a Rav paskin a shaila that's relevant to himself? A Rav also wants to have a kosher home. Could he paskin questions that are relevant to him? So, this question needs to be broken down into a number of situations. One situation that the Paiskim say is, let's say a Rav has to paskin on a knife for Shechita. So there we have the same concept that the Gemara uses. I could have always made the knife kosher. I could make it good. So that's why he's Neman. Whenever you could do something to make it, then you trust it. He could have made it good. So if he said it's good, we trust him. What about a question in your kitchen? The question, your wife has a question in the kitchen. Do you have to ask a different rabbi? Or could you pass in yourself? So I said earlier, a few moments ago, that in halacha, there's a big nafkamina between the schazik isura and not a schazik isura. The case of Bechar, we're dealing with a situation where the kohen already has the Bechar, and now he has to deal with it. When it's not a schazik isura, it's much easier. So if you have a question, it's not a schazik, in kashrus, whatever, pot, pan, it's not a schazik isura, you certainly can pass it for yourself. Where does the issue come up? If your wife has a question while she's a nida, could you paskin on a question while your wife is a nida? There it's already ischazik isura. Not that if she became a nida, when she is already a nida, could you paskin that shaila? So the paskin all take a lenient approach. But the question is, why do they take that lenient approach? So some, I saw a number of approaches. One approach is that this is a din specifically said by Kachim. By Kachim and Taharis, it doesn't apply to other areas of halacha. Another approach that I saw is that it's only an issue by something that everybody knows about. In other words, we have a Bechar. Everybody knows that the Kohen has the Bechar. And all of a sudden the Kohen shows up and says, I'm eating this Bechar for supper. Or I'm selling the Bechar. Why? Because it's a Baal Mum. So that's something that's very much in the public eye. And Chazal were concerned about such situations when they're in the public eye. But when we deal with a situation which is in the privacy of your home, if someone's wife is a nida, it's between the husband and the wife. It's not that the whole world knows. That's why it's very different, and that's why a husband could paskin a shayla for his wife when she's a nida, if he's qualified to paskin. Hadron loch kam Yisrael chayovim, Hanu lach kam Yisrael chayovim, Hanu lach kam Yisrael chayovim. Says the Mishnah, Kol psulim mikdashim. Whenever you have something that's a psulim mikdashim, we always speak about psulim mikdashim, which means an animal that's carbon, that became blemished, that you're selling, you're redeeming. The halach is nimkarim ba'atlas, nishchotim bitlas, you could sell it in the butcher shop, you could shlecht it in the butcher shop, nishkolim belitra, and you could weigh it in the normal fashion. Chutz, min ha-bechor, ben ha-maiser. With Bechor, we just finished discussing that when Bechor is a Baal Mum, the Kohen could sell it. Or when the Maiser is a Baal Mum, you could sell your Maiser, that's Baal Mum. That Aloch is Shanaasin Labailim. That the Aloch is that they, who's the one benefiting? Not Hegdish. Me, myself, are benefiting. Surah Mekdashim, however, Hanaasin LaHegdish, says the Mishnah. So since we don't want to treat Bechorah, how do we weigh a Bechor? We have to weigh it. And we can't weigh it on a scale. Says the Mishnah, Shoik L'mona K'neg Mona. We know that this piece of meat weighs 5 pounds. We take another piece, we take the Bechor meat, and we sort of estimate what it weighs, the Bechor. So the Gemara focuses on the first words, on the words of the Mishnah we just learned. The Mishnah said, Kol P'sula Mekdashim Hanasun L'Hegdish. When you're selling Psula and Mekdashim, who are going to be the beneficiary? The beneficiary, the Mishnah said, is going to be Hegdish. Ask the Gemara exactly what is the situation. Amos. Ilei malacha pidyonai, if we're referring that we were already paided, that means I had an animal that I designated to be a carbon. It became balmum, I was paided. So that animal now is my animal. That, and when I sell that animal, who's going to get that animal? Me. Who's going to get the proceeds? So ask the Gemara, we don't understand the wording of the Mishnah. Hanosim lehegdish? Hegdish is going to have benefit? Hanosim the balamhu? I'm going to have the benefit. Says the Gemara, elufnei pidyonai. What the Mishnah is referring to a situation that the animal became disqualified, and before they were paided it, they shechted it. Elufnei pidyonai. They shechted it. And who's going to get the proceeds from that slaughtered animal? Hegdish, because Hegdish owns the animal. Ask the Gemara, Nishchatim, how could they do that? We've learned the halacha, and we will again and again learn the halacha, that the Torah says, Hamoda v'harocha. The pasuk says, V'hemid esa behem lefnei ha-koyin, v'herich oisei ha-koyin. That whenever you sell Hegdish, it has to be standing. So if we're referring here to a situation that the animal became a balmum while it's still in the possession of Hegdish, and Hegdish is slaughtering it and now selling it, but you can't do hamada on a dead animal. So how is this possible? So says the Gemara, and we refer to this machloikus. It's actually primarily a machloikus, a mesechta temura. When the Torah speaks about hamada v'harocha, there's a serious machloikus tanoim. What does the Torah mean? There's one opinion that says it means kachim by the kabayis only. There's another opinion that says it means kachim is bayach only. And there's a third opinion that means both. So says the Gemara, Hanich l'man da omer, according to the opinion that says kachim is bayach loy hoy bichlal hamodav arocha. So the Gemara makes sense. El l'man da omer hoy bichlal hamodav arocha. But according to the man da omer that says that hamodav arocha is required even by kachim is bayach, we're back to where we started, mayik l'meimer. What must have happened here is that I was paid to this animal while still alive, and now it became mine, and I'm selling it. So where's that benefit to Hegdish? We're talking about the animal's still alive, and I own it. So ask the Gemara, Mahi Nasan LaHegdish, Adami Kara. The Gemara says at the beginning, let's think it through. We have a live animal. Hegdish owns the live animal. And Hegdish is selling it. It's being sold. Now, when somebody buys something, he looks at what he's buying, hopefully. So now, if the person who's buying it knows that what he's going to buy has all sorts of restrictions, you can't sell it in a butcher shop, you can't weigh it on a scale, he's not going to be so anxious to buy it. And the price of that animal will drop. So the kivan, the sherele ma, adamikara, the kivan the sharli nimkarim ba'atlas and the shchotim ba'atlas, since it's going to be allowed to be sold in the butcher shop and slaughtered in the butcher shop, the shkarim ba'litra and be weighed in a normal fashion on a scale, tfei park mikara, it'll get a better price up front versus if it had all these restrictions. Chutz min ha'bechor min ha'maisa, she hanosin labalim. Says the Bishlam b'chor be'itlas hud le'mizdabin. We could understand the case of b'chor. We just finished speaking about it. The kohen has a bechor, it's a balmum, no longer has to be brought as a carbon. So the Mishnah is teaching us, bitlus hudulay mizdabin, it may not be sold in a butcher shop, habibes of mizdabin. In home, the kohen in the privacy of his home may sell it. Ask the Gemara, el meiser, when we speak about meiser, bebeisim mizdabin, a meiser, if it became a balmum, may you sell even from your home? V'tanya, and we're going to speak about this much more tomorrow, Shibezer Hashem. But b'chor nemav loy sipoda, v'nimka chai. The Torah says loy sipoda, you may redeem it when it's whole, but while it's bamum, you could sell it. The ma'isa nemar loy goyel, the Torah uses different words, v'nimka loy chai v'loy shachot loy tam v'loy bamum. So the Mishnah seems to imply, you're not allowed to sell the ma'isa animal in the butcher shop, but at home you're allowed to. Ask the Gemara, we're going to learn that you're not allowed to sell it ever. Answers the Gemara, Ha milsa, ikshle le Rav Sheshe be'urta. This question was posed to Rav Sheshe in the evening. V'shanya be'kadmusa me'braisa. In the morning, he responded. Right away in the morning, he responded. Mibraisa, based on a braisa. Bibaisa, behemish, yisoyim, maskinim. We're speaking about that who owns this maisa behema. It's talking about yisoyim. And the way the Rishonim explain the Gemara, that it's obvious that this braisa is of the opinion that the issa that we just learned, that you're not allowed to sell a maisa or animal, is only an issa d'rabbonon. And by yisoyim, Chazal relaxed. They relaxed this restriction because they were Yisoyim. Says the Gemara, Gevaldige Gemara. Rav Idi sarsed Rav Sheshes Hava. Rav Idi was the assistant of Rav Sheshes. Shomimineh. So he heard Rav Sheshes give this great answer to this question. Ozel Amr Bei Medrasha. He went and repeated what he heard from Rav Sheshes in the yeshiva. But he didn't say that he heard it from Rav Sheshes. Shom Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes heard that his name wasn't mentioned. Ikbit. He was very upset. Omer, man the okets, somebody who stung me, but not saying over that it was I who said this teretz, likritze akrava, should be stung by a scorpion. Ask the Gemara, Rav Sheshes my nafkalimine. Why is Rav Sheshes so upset? Answers the Gemara, Dom Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Maidiksiv, Agura Ba'alecha Ilomim. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Agura Ba'alecha Ilomim. And the question is, V'chi Efshel Adam Logo B'Shnei Ilomim, can a person live in both worlds? We know that either you're in this world or you're in the next world. Ela Amar David, Rebbein Shalom, Yo'im Adavish Shmu Mipi Ba'alem Hazeh. Even after I'm no longer here, my word should be repeated. Dom Rav Yachim Shem Rav Shem Ben Yochai. Whoever, somebody's words, even though he's no longer around, his words are repeated. His lips still move in the kever. What is the basis for this? The pasuk says in Shir Shirim, V'chike kiyayin ha-toiv, hoylich l'doidi l'mesharim, doiviv sifsi yishayim, ki koymesh on the oven. It's like a bunch of, like a basket full of grapes. Ma koimisha anovim. Just like when we speak about grapes. Kivin the odom noigeba. Once a person touches them, doiviv, it moves around. Af talmidei chachamim, so to talmidei chachamim, kivisha odom oimedovish shmu bepiv. When you repeat what you heard, something from his mouth, svasas doiviv, doiviv, svasas bekever, his lips move in the kever. A lot to say here. First of all, the Mefarshim ask, why didn't the Gemara say a different teretz? Maybe Gula Loilam. Why does the Gemara quote that? The Mefarshim answer, that Rav Sheshes, maybe Gula Loilam has nothing to do with me. Maybe Gula Loilam has to do with the whole world. Here Rav Sheshes was concerned about himself. That's why the Mashah says this. That's why he quoted, the Gemara quotes this price and not this memory and not that memory. The other question is, we're speaking about a great individual. We're speaking about Rav Idi. How did Rav Idi make this mistake? So Mefarshim answer, Rav Idi, of course, would have never not said the name of Rav Sheshes. He assumed that when he came to Yeshiva and he said something, given that he was Rav Sheshes' assistant, everybody will know, who am I saying? Who did I hear it from? I must have heard it from Rav Sheshes. So he didn't think it was necessary to mention Rav Sheshes' name, but Rav Sheshes was still upset. Furthermore, the Mefarshim say that who is the man, the Omer, that teaches, who's the one that teaches us this concept of Gura Eilecha Ba'ilomim, that specifically a Gura Eilecha Ba'ilomim, we find that it was David HaMelech. David HaMelech is not known as the teacher of Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu is known as the teacher of Klal Yisrael. So shouldn't it make more sense that this is something that Moshe Rabbeinu would have taught us versus David HaMelech? So I saw the Mefarshim say there's a tremendous lesson to learn here. The lesson to learn here is that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't the king. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't build the Beis HaMikdash. David HaMelech, everybody wants to have something left over from him in this world. So David HaMelech could have easily assumed, I built the Beis HaMikdash. So it's always, oh, I at least set the foundation for the Beis HaMikdash. It will always be called on my name. When a king leaves the world, there are cities and there are streets and there are buildings named after kings and presidents all day long. So there would have been a lot of monuments to David HaMelech. So the last person in the world you would think would have this concern of a guru ilach ilamim is David HaMelech. Moshe Rabbeinu should have had the concern. He died in the Midbar. David HaMelech showed us, I know they're going to build monuments for me. And I know they're going to make a Beis HaMikdash on my name. But that isn't the real monument. What is the real monument? The Divrei Torah that's going to be said in my name. And that's why we say every Matzah Shabbos, David Melech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayim, for the Divrei Torah that is left from his name. Furthermore, Rabbi Yochanan is the Mandama that elaborates on this from the Mefarshim and say, because we know that Rabbi Yochanan was the Mandama that says throughout Shas that he lost all his children. So Rabbi Yochanan said, my Nechama, what is my Nechama? That I will at least have the Divrei Torah said in my name. So Gemara compares this to Koimer Shel Anovim, the Sfas of David Vayis Bekever. So one pshat that I saw, a fascinating pshat, is that if you have a bunch of grapes, and you squeeze those grapes, and you make juice out of them, but you still have some grapes left, and the juice is here, and the grapes are somewhere else, whenever you touch those grapes, the juice also gets affected. There's a connection. And what is the lesson of our Gemara? The Farshim say that the lesson of our Gemara, and it's what we all know, that every person is a guf and neshama. And the guf comes to this world, and unfortunately the guf leaves this world. But our neshama remains for eternity. And because our neshama remains for eternity, even after we're no longer in the world, that neshama is still here. And when we say Divrei Torah, which emanates from a Jewish neshama, that neshama, wherever it is, still has a chiyus, and still has something from it. And that's why I saw that the minig is that people go to be mespalel at the kvarim of relatives and of tzaddikim. And why? Because even though the body is no longer here, the neshama, that is where there's a connection to the neshama. In fact, it's the basis for a very interesting halacha. I saw the Sefer Nitin Gavriel discusses this. We know that there's a din, Shulchan Aruch is very strict with this din, of loig l'rash. When you go to a cemetery, you're not allowed to have your tzitzis out because they can't do mitzvahs. Yet, the minig in many communities is by the gravesite, you say a hesped, and in a hesped, you could say Divrei Torah. How do you say Divrei Torah by a hesped at a gravesite? Why isn't there any loig l'rash? So the minig is that you should say Divrei Torah from the nifter. Because that's where the neshama of the nifter is. And by speaking about his neshama, by speaking Divrei Torah from him, where his neshama is, it's a tremendous connection. Speaking lahaloch l'maisa, about Oyim Adav Shmu Mipiv, so what happens if there's a whole slew of people that you heard this from Reuven, who heard it from Shimon, heard it from Levi. So, yes, throughout the Gemara we find that what is the din? The Gemara mentions that entire line. But what are we obligated to do? What we're obligated to do is mention the person who we heard it from and the first person who said it. You don't, apidin, you're not obligated to mention that entire list of people. Another halacha, the Chidah suggests, which perhaps makes it a little easier because we can always be careful to mention who we heard something from or to remember who we heard it from. So the Chidah says it's most relevant when we speak halach l'maisa. Because when we speak halach l'maisa, that's where who said it makes a lot of a difference. When it's just not halach l'maisa, it makes much less of a difference. Another pshat, another halacha, the Steichemet says, a very interesting Steichemet. The Steichemet says l'halacha, let's say I'm learning and I come up with a chiddush. And then, as I learn further, I see that I'm not only person that came up with this chiddush. Somebody else said it. I find it in a sefer. The halacha is that I don't have to say that I saw it in that sefer. If I truly came up with that chiddush myself, I could take attribution for it. The pasuk says, that Moshe Rabbeinu said, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that he's going to leave the world, so the person, my pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yidavim Moshe al Hashem leimor, Yifkar Hashem al Ruches Ishal Eda. When Moshe Rabbeinu was asking if HaKadosh Baruch Hu explained the Chassidus Shesvarim, Yidavim Moshe al Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu asked of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that even after I'm not in this world, lamer, my divrei Torah should still be said over in my name. Adam, the pasuk says, Adam ki yomus ba'oil. A person is Adam ki yomus. A person is no longer here. He died, but he can remain ba'oil. How can he remain ba'oil if you say divrei Torah in his name? The pasuk says in Mishlei, Chaim umaves biyad haloshin. Chaim umaves biyad haloshin. It should have said Mavis Uchaim. Mavis Uchaim biyad haloshin. It should have said Chaim umaves. First you live and then you die. No. But the pasuk is saying is, even after you die, biyad haloshin, you could still be speaking when Divrei Torah said in your name. And then I saw a very nice word from the Satmar Rebbe. Satmar Rebbe says, the Gemara says many places, Metoch Shaloi Lishma, Ba Lishma. So Pash Pshat of the Gemara is that even though we're learning Shaloi Lishma, we could ultimately come to Madreg of Lishma. He says a different Pshat. Our learning, he says, we know is not always of the highest Madrega. But if we repeat Divrei Torah from Rishonim and Achronim, who are great individuals, who indeed learn Torah Lishma, you're learning Torah Shalai Lishma. But you could bring to the world Torah that's Lishma by quoting the Divrei Torah of people who indeed learned Torah Lishma. And the Klosmer Rebbe, and with this will end, the Klosmer Rebbe says, Amari de Gavart. He says, the Gemara says in Masechta Kedushin that the world is constantly judged. People, the mitzvahs, Averis, more tzaddikim, more rishon. He says, when you repeat Divrei Torah from Talmidei Chachamim and Tzadikim, who are no longer in this world, Svasav Daivavas, you're bringing those people back to this world. And by bringing those people back to the world, they get put into the count of Tzadikim and Rishonim in the world. So when you mention their words, you could be taking the whole world to have more Tzadikim.